What's up? Another episode of Ripple Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Rika. The brand is also known as Ricky France, and a great episode for you today. Today we have returning guest, Massimo Masuco. I hope I didn't mess that up. I'm always so self-conscious about messing up names. Great returning guest. Last time he was on, it was quite a while ago, last time he was on the Ripple Effect Podcast. It was episode 124. I believe we're at like 326 now. So it was a while ago, but he is one of my favorite documentary filmmakers. He's made many great documentaries on so many different topics, including one of my favorite 9/11 documentaries, which is 9/11 at New Pearl Harbor. He also has Cancer Cures, about obviously Cancer Cures, and then American Moon, about the moon landing. So many interesting documentaries, very well researched. He's also been on The Union of the Unwanted. He was on episode 23 of The Union of the Unwanted. Another great episode. I highly recommend you guys checking that out. He was also recently a guest on Propaganda Report with Monica Perez, a dear friend of mine and a regular on The Union of the Unwanted. So check out that interview. And I believe you can find that on her Rockfin channel. And speaking of Rockfin, now time for the business, I guess. You can find my exclusive show, Ricky Rants on Rockfin, on Rockfin. If you're not familiar with what Rockfin is, it's like a Netflix for alternative media. Monica Perez from The Propaganda Report's there. You have Sam Tripoli, Charlie Robinson, Last American Vagabond, Jimmy Dore, Lee Camp, Abby Martin, Richard Grove. So many great content creators are on there, so definitely check it out. There's tons of free stuff. Jason Burmes is on there. Tons of free stuff. You make a free account, you can get access to all the free stuff. And then if you like it, you can download the app or go on the web browser and get all the premium stuff for, I think, $9.99 or whatever the monthly charge is. But it's full of great high-quality content. And of course, with all the censorship and shadow banning on YouTube and the major platforms, it's become harder and harder to find high-quality content discussing anything that's even slightly controversial. So definitely check it out. So that's one way of supporting the Ripple Effect Podcast. Go on Rockfin, subscribe to the Ripple Effect Podcast. You can also tip on Rockfin, which is pretty cool. But I also have a merch store, Ripple Effect Podcast, merch.com. If you want to rep some Ripple Effect Podcast gear, it's highly appreciated. I have a PayPal account, and all this stuff will be in the show description. I have a Patreon page, and once a month, I do a podcast with my Patreon supporters. So sign up for Patreon, support the Ripple Effect Podcast, even if it's just $1 a month, and then you'll have access to our Patreon podcast and be able to join us for that. And no amount is too little. So if it's only $1 a month or a couple bucks a month, I truly, truly appreciate it. And if everybody who listened to the show donated $1, I could do this full time. So it kind of puts in perspective how valuable that dollar is if everybody contributes. But of course, if you can't support the show financially, rate, review, subscribe, share the show, tell people about it. And that's another way of helping support the show. Last but not least, you can find this show on all the audio platforms, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, any podcast app you have. You can find the audio version of the Ripple Effect Podcast and my other show, The Union of the Unwanted, which I do with Charlie Robinson, Sam Tripoli, and Midnight Mike. But it's also available on many video platforms. So keep that in mind, because who knows how much longer it's going to be on YouTube. So check out Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, Rockfin, Float. I feel like I'm forgetting a platform, but it's on all those platforms and probably a couple more that I'm forgetting. If by any chance my YouTube channel disappears in the near future, know that the videos are also available on those other platforms. And I'll put all that stuff in the show description. So as always, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you guys on the next one. Peace. Yeah, well, let's just jump right into it. What's your new project you're working on?
Okay, I just finished a video in Italian only. It's called COVID, the Forbidden Cures. And it basically shows how in Italy, I don't know in your country, but basically this has been happening everywhere, but especially in Italy, since every new cure came out, it has been systematically rejected and hidden and denied. And we finally figure out why. So first, plasma therapy came out in May last year. And it was strangely killed. I mean, it was a big success story. And then 3 days later, nobody hears about it anymore. Hydroxychloroquine, of course, came up and nobody really wanted to hear about it. And it was killed in the media. Vitamin C, vitamin D were killed immediately in the media. Ivermectin, also a very valid one, was killed. Lactoferrin, another product that showed very promising. It was our health ministry was just not interested. And finally, we figure out why. The reason is, and probably you know this too, but if you don't know, it would be worth taking a look into it. And the reason why they're not giving us the cures is because, of course, they want to keep everybody sick until they can vaccinate everybody. But not only that, if the quick approval procedure for a vaccine, emergency procedure, requires for the disease for no existing valid cure to exist at the time. Otherwise, you cannot get a speedy approval of the vaccination. In other words, if you want to approve a vaccine and through a normal steps, it will take you between 3 and 5 years. To go through the quick procedure, the emergency procedure, there is a need of, there has to be no available cure at the time. And this is both in the FDA paperwork and in the EMA, which is the European Medical Agency, which is the equivalent of the FDA in America. And they both have this very written very clearly. So not only were we denied the cures, but now we know why. Because if any of those cures were officially accepted, then the emergency procedure for the vaccine would just fall through. You couldn't do it.
Yeah, I've talked about this on my show. That's a very important part to the puzzle. Because what people don't realize is that, like you said, one of the reasons why they demonized all these other treatments, possible treatments, was because, like you said, to get that fast track approval, and they basically needed, or they needed to be in a state of emergency, and they needed no other treatments to exist to justify being able to skip those approval steps. And that's why, like you said, they demonized hydroxychloroquine, they demonized all these things. And I'm not a pro pharma person. You know, I'm a big fan of, like, you know, using your food as your medicine and trying to find natural ways and pharmaceutical drugs to be a last resort. But it was obvious that they were demonizing hydroxychloroquine and anything else that had even a little bit of success. I mean, vitamin D, things as what I would call harmless, as just recommending vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, the supplements as a way of being proactive. The people who were saying that were getting ripped off YouTube, were getting strikes, were getting, you know, all this stuff. And so, yeah, it's a huge issue. The big pharma mafia is probably one of the scariest. You know, I know the military-industrial complex, when you look at it historically, has more or less seemed to be the most dangerous thing to freedoms and humanity. But I think big pharma has surpassed that.
Yes, absolutely. And in terms of power, too. I mean, the power that they have right now is almost infinite. In particular, going back to the point of the denied cures, not only were some cures denied, but some medicines that were known for 70 years to be totally harmless suddenly become full of side effects and even would bring you to a suicide. The extreme was that you cannot just deny a medicine because, you know, it's not enough to say, oh, this doesn't really work. No, you cannot work. You cannot use it because you can even bring in suicidal thoughts. How do they do that? How does hydroxychloroquine, which is chloroquine, is a drug that's known for 70 years used against malaria, suddenly become a drug that can induce suicide? You know how they did it? They tested it. I found a little article. They tested it on 6 patients, mind you, 6 patients in Barcelona or Madrid, in somewhere in Spain. They gave them 10 times the dosage. And then they said, oh, look at these people. They're kind of unstable psychologically. So this is suicidal. We better not use it. So suddenly a drug that's been, it's in the list of the OMS in English is WHO.
Yeah, the WHO.
The WHO, the World Health Organization. Yeah, here is OMS, sorry. in the list of the WHO best medicines, the most safe and most reliable medicines, hydroxychloroquine belongs to that list. And suddenly it's something that you don't give to people because they become suicidal. But that itself proves to you that absolutely, that there's absolutely no good faith in what they're doing. It's obviously that they're lying and try to kill the medicine. Another thing that really shocked me was Anthony Fauci, who publicly denied the existence of scientific evidence in favor of chloroquine when he was in a press conference with Donald Trump. Some reporter from, I think, Fox News asked him, what about hydroxychloroquine? Does this have a good potential? And he says, no, there is no scientific evidence in favor of that. The same Anthony Fauci knew in 2005 that chloroquine is a potent inhibitor towards the SARS virus. The SARS virus they had in 2005 is 90% similar to the one that is currently going around, okay? And the scientific publication was published in 2005 in the Virology Journal, which is the official publication of the entity directed by Anthony Fauci. So he could not have known that. I mean, he's an infectiologist, so he should know anyway. But on top, it was his own organization who published that. So that shows you there is a total willfulness of telling lies just to cover up because they needed to get the vaccines running fast. This is really a crime of the century, I would call it. Because how many people have died who could have been saved during the last year and a half with all these medicines that have been denied? Nobody will ever know.
Yeah, I know your show's in Italian, but I had a great guest. His name's Dr. Joel Hirshhorn, who did a whole book called Plandemic Blunder, all about this, specifically about this issue, about how over and over again there were things that showed some positive, just basically treatments that showed some positive results, and yet they were demonized, they were suppressed from the public, and people wouldn't even explore them or even look into them at all. And it was quite obvious what they were doing. I mean, Dr. Fauci, does it make you mad that he's Italian? That it's like he's such a that it's like, why does the biggest jerk, this liar on TV, have to be Italian?
I wish I could say it's because he's Italian, but in this particular case, no, I cannot take the blame for that. I mean, people like that exist in all cultures, in all places, in all, you know, levels of life, because it's a matter of power, so that really doesn't matter. Yeah. But no, I never really thought of that. In fact, I should be a little ashamed. Yeah, I'll take 10% of the blame for that.
It's amazing how consistently he lies on TV, and the only hardball, and it was barely a hardball interview, but the only interview that he did that he got questioned kind of hard, I don't know if you saw, it was with the Mexican actor, or I think he's an actor. He's a famous like Mexican celebrity. He's an actor, a comedian. And so Dr. Fauci was interviewed, and he, I'm assuming whoever books his interviews thought it was going to be a very easy interview, like all his other interviews. He's going to get thrown these very softball questions, and he's going to answer them, and nobody's going to follow up on them. And he got thrown some curveballs, because what he did, this Mexican actor, his name was Eugenio. I forget what his last name was. His first name was Eugenio. And he starts grilling him about, like, so he opens up, like, asking him how many vaccines are FDA approved. And then Dr. Fauci goes with this whole spiel. And Eugenio actually goes, no, wait, they're not FDA approved, right? We're in a state of emergency, so they got to skip the approval process. And he like follows up these questions, and you could see Dr. Fauci little by little thinking to himself, like, what the hell did I get myself into? You know, this was, you know, and he really goes hard to Adam. He asks him, like, you know, if you're vaccinated, why do you have to wear a mask?
So how does a guest is allowed to ask questions directly to another guest in the same show?
No, he was being interviewed by this guy.
He was being interviewed by
Eugenio. Yeah. If I can find the video, I'll send you the link.
Beautiful. Yeah, I would actually put subtitles to it, at least parts of it, because people will enjoy it. We don't like Fauci very much here either, so it would be a good thing to have if you could send it to me. Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation in the U.S. in regards to traveling. People are concerned about like going. just talking to my parents today, they were thinking about going to Portugal again this year, and I haven't been for a very long time. I was born there, but we would go back every other year. But then once I got in my teenage years, I stopped going with my parents. My parents would go and I'd stay back. And but we're thinking about going again. And a lot of my European friends are saying, well, I got vaccinated because, you know, I know it's experimental, or, you know, maybe it doesn't stop the spread or whatever, but I want to travel. And that's like the thing. They giving you every incentive in getting the vaccine. You know, it's like, oh, you don't want to wear a mask. The CDC just announced if you get vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Like,
they're giving you... look, beautiful. Or you can eat French fries if you get vaccinated.
Exactly.
Like de Blasio.
Are you guys hearing that in Italy?
Absolutely.
Like
that here, there's already talk about so-called green pass that will allow you to travel only if you're vaccinated. Either that, or you need to show proof of a negative swab in the last 48 hours. But I mean, you know, it's $50 every time you want to have one of those swabs taken here. And a lot of people are not ready to spend $50 every time they want to go from one region of Italy to the other. So, of course, that forces a lot of people to say, well, what the hell? I just get the vaccine and get it over with. The problem is that they don't know that it's not over. It's not one vaccination and it's over with. That's a problem. Burla, the CEO of Pfizer, the other day announced that we're going to have probably a third shot this year, and then every year is going to have to be a recall. How do you do it? A reshot again.
Yeah, they call it a booster shot. Yeah,
a booster. Yeah, have a booster every year. So the idea is that no, you don't get out of this by simply getting one shot and that's it. And if you're lucky and everything goes well, then it's over. It's not over. It's never going to be over. That's what's really hard for us to make people understand. People just are so exasperated by not being able to go in anywhere. Here we still have a curfew. You know, at 10 o'clock, Italians have to be home.
And
by
people
10
don't,
o'clock.
People don't
Otherwise,
understand. In Europe, like in America, I feel like it's not quite of a big deal. But in Europe, that I feel like that's a bigger deal, because in Europe, some people eat at 9 and 10 o'clock
night. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we have jokes about people being dragged away from the restaurant at 5 to 10 with still half a pizza in their mouth, you know, because they're not finished yet. That's how bad it is. That's how bad the blackmail is, because this is blackmail, obviously. Oh, you want your life back? No problem. Get a shot. That's called blackmail. That is discrimination, because by forcing restrictions on those who don't vaccinate, it's discrimination. There's actually an issue here with having to prove that you're vaccinated because of the privacy issue. I know it's very big in America too, and actually that's the reason I think that the White House said a couple of weeks ago that there will not be an interstate vaccine pass. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I believe they said it would be too complicated, too hard to keep track of, or something along those lines. Yeah.
The truth is that it violates your privacy.
Well, we have HIPAA laws.
You have no rights to know what I have put in my body. So you cannot ask me to prove that I have done something to my body or not. That's really a violation. Americans are more sensitive to this kind of rights. Here in Italy, everybody's accepting the idea. And it's really bad. It's really bad.
Well, it's weird because... you figure Europe, you know, even in Portugal, you know, my grandparents grew up with Salazar, you know, a dictatorship. It wasn't that long ago, you know, and Europe, they're more attached to history because obviously, you know, we have this long journey of, you know, how these countries were created and people who conquered them and all this stuff. And you learn that stuff. In America, it's like, you know, hey, we're the new guys on the block. We don't know too much about what happened before America. You know, because in American history class, most of what you're learning is just American history. You're not learning much of what goes. So it seems like I have a friend of mine who's married to a Chinese girl, and she was saying how Americans don't realize how quickly they're turning into China. And I feel like when people come from countries with dictators, when people come from countries where governments, they justify government overreach, they justify taking away your freedoms and your rights because they're protecting you, supposedly, that you realize that, or you can pick up on when it's happening again. But in America, it's like they do it so slowly, and they do it, and because it, we don't have a history of it happening before, we don't realize it's happening. I would think in Europe, they would be maybe a little bit more wary of the government you know, taking away your rights to protect you or for moral reasons, because it's happened before. But that's not the case, it seems.
What the technique that they use here is that if they only get one country within Europe of the 27 countries that make up the European Union, if they only get one country to accept something, and it could be any country, Denmark, Portugal, not Switzerland is not part of that, Austria, whatever, or Italy, then everybody else says, well, they're doing it in Italy, so it makes sense that we do it also. And everybody follows through. So what they really do is they push on each country to see which one gives in first. And once that is done, the dam falls, basically, and just the water comes through and they just apply it to everybody. And nobody has enough force to withstand that, to reject that. This is really, it's really sad to watch how the media can manipulate and turn everything into positive, even when it's negative. Now the slogan here is, we're so happy that we're getting our freedoms back because the vaccinations are working. The underlying message is keep vaccinating and you get more freedoms. Do not vaccinate, you get stuck at home. It's as simple as that. Stadiums, we cannot go to stadiums, we cannot go to concerts. I mean, the same as you, basically. Now they're starting to reopen, but only to vaccinated people. That is not a freedom for the others, because if you're taking away a freedom and you're giving it back to me only if I vaccinated, that's called blackmail. It's no longer a free choice. They said, oh, well, you have a free choice. No, you don't really, because I do like to go to the stadium to watch a game. I do like to go to a concert. I don't mind traveling when I need to travel. So no, it's not a free choice. You're forcing me.
Well, what drives me crazy is that in Texas, in Florida, they basically don't give a F. I mean, they don't care. They've been parting it up, enjoying it. I was in Florida in February, and I mean, it was like 2020 never happened. People are enjoying themselves. You run into people, they still hug you and kiss you like, you know, like you're used to. Like, and then you come back to Massachusetts, people are giving you fist bumps or tapping elbows, and it's so ridiculous. But it showed the power of the media. Like, we think that the internet, because you have access to your own research, that the TV has less influence. But it shows that you live in a place like Massachusetts, where I live, and the news and the local news and the local politicians keep telling you, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Everybody's afraid. And if you go to Florida, where the news and the politicians are telling you, hey, let's open up, things are good, blah, 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 that's the way people are. It's like nobody thinks for themselves. And so it's just, you would think, well, and then the other thing is the censorship thing, right? It's the fact that even if you want to do some research, learn about what's going on, all you're getting, I mean, if you go on YouTube, you're going to be force-fed mainstream media, Fox News clips, CNN clips, MSNBC clips. Now, you doing your show in Italian,
I'm not even going to mention the title, because if you search it, you cannot find it. I'm under shadow banning for the last year. So even if this thing I just put out has reached already like 300,000 or 400,000 views.
Wow.
Each of these views is a single link sent by somebody to somebody else. If you search the title of my actual video, it doesn't come up. So my account has been under shadow banning for at least a year. So the only followership that I have is people who pass the link directly to other people. That's how bad it is right now.
Well, I need to hook you up with, so I have a guy, we have a mutual friend, Richard Grove, and he introduced me to this guy, Matt, who owns Content Safe. And what Content Safe does, and he does it with my show. So I'm the same way. Like, I put out episodes after episodes, and I have zero to no growth on YouTube. And you figure, even if I was putting out a shitty show that nobody liked, if it's available on YouTube long enough, eventually somebody's going to like it and subscribe to it, and it's going to grow. But it's basically the same thing, shadow banned. It's been suppressed. Nobody can find it. Sometimes I even recommend episodes to people. I'll look for it on YouTube. I'll put in the exact episode number and guest, and I can't find it. So it's obvious something's going on. But what Matt does from Content Safe is that, because on the audio version of this episode, I've seen less censorship, iTunes censored Mickey Willis, who was the filmmaker of the Plandemic documentary, and then they also censored Del Bigtree. I had issues with both those episodes, who is the host of The High Wire. I had issues for a couple days, and then I think they're back on iTunes, but I had some issues with them. But outside of that, Spotify, if you just get my RSS feed or whatever podcast app you use, I've seen very little to no censorship. The video version of the episodes, which is mostly on YouTube, that's the biggest video platform, I've seen tons of censorship. And I've had tons of shows pulled and strikes and all that stuff. So what Matt does, when I upload my videos to YouTube, he syncs my YouTube channel to a bunch of other alternative platforms. So after this show is uploaded on YouTube, within 24 hours, maybe 48 hours at max, it'll be on my BitChute channel. It'll be on my Odyssey channel, Library channel, Rockfin, like all these other alternative video platforms. So I don't have to go through the trouble of uploading my videos to each one of these individual platforms. I upload in one spot and he sends them everywhere else. And he actually came up with this because he's a big fan of alternative media and content creators like ourselves. And he wanted to find a way to protect them. So if somebody deletes your life's work and your life's work is only on YouTube, you could still find it in another location. So yeah. I've been recommending him to a lot of people who are going to deal with the censorship stuff, especially people like yourself who talk about what seems to be the most suppressed topic, and that's anything that's anti-Big Pharma.
Yeah. Well, here too, we do the same. But again, you know, here we don't use BitChute so much. We use Rumble. I don't know if you know it.
Yeah. It's also another, Rumble.
You know, it's another. But the problem is that by doing that, you spread the views and you get much less views. Obviously, YouTube is the place where everybody is used to connect for 10 years now. And the system on YouTube, when it works really well. And so it's hard to do without, of course. That's why they're controlling YouTube, because it's the most popular of all. But yeah, we also have all those alternative solutions. We even came up with, I have my own platform in which we put out my own videos on actual peer-to-peer, so they're not even resident anywhere. So you cannot remove them even if you wanted to. But then again, that reduces the viewership to by at least 80%. So we're trying to stay alive on YouTube as well as the other platforms. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I still post on YouTube, but I'm not censoring myself. I'm not censoring anything. I'm like, when I get kicked off, I get kicked off. Yeah. But unfortunately, what happens, because like you said, YouTube's one of the biggest platforms in the world. It's like the second biggest search engine. So people use Google, and then YouTube's actually the second biggest search engine. So if you control YouTube, you control most of what people are watching and seeing and the information that they're gathering, which is,
you know, it's funny. I have a well-known documentary called September 11, the New Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
In Italy, I don't know in the States, but in Italy, if you search the title of the film with a quote unquote, so basically that string of words specific, you know, September 11, the New Pearl Harbor and quote unquote, my film does not come up. A TV show debunking the 9/11 theories comes up first. A national, you know, a mainstream media TV show comes up first. I mean, that's really ironic. I mean, this film has, I don't know, I think about almost 1 million views in the US version, 3 million views in the Italian version, and still you cannot find it by the title. It's amazing what they can do with the algorithm. And still they can say, oh, it's not censorship. Your video's there. People just go to the place and can find it. Of course, you know, but the search engine doesn't work. That's the problem.
Yeah. The first time you were on some years ago, I know you were recently on the other show I do, The Union of the Unwanted, but you were on Ripple Effect podcast some years ago. And I remember you could find it then, but I remember when you were on The Union of the Unwanted, I remember searching to see how many of your movies were still on YouTube, and I couldn't find most of them. You know, the Cancer Cures. I did find the moon landing. I think 9/11, New Pearl Harbor, same thing. I found the debunking video. I found somebody else who posted it, which is weird because it's like your channel has the most views. Why wouldn't they suggest that first? You know, and remember, we're talking about the most advanced algorithms ever, and you're telling me I can't punch in the exact title to a film and it doesn't come up? Like, That's not accidental.
Of course not. Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, we do what we can. We keep fighting.
Yeah. And so has that been a big focus of your work now? Is that's been the topic that the COVID stuff has been?
Yes. Yes. Because I was already, before the COVID happened, I was already working on a documentary on vaccines in general. So this came in really like, you know, I was already hot on the issue, so to speak. I knew a lot of things already on vaccines in general, which made it also easier for me to tackle the COVID vaccine issue, because I was already, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I had to learn a lot of things about vaccines in general and how do they work and what is the real story behind the side effects and what does virus, I don't know if you call it virus.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it either. Everybody pronounces it differently.
Virus, whatever it says, and what is the real ratio to what you find there and what the real things are. And it's amazing. So yes, I was pretty much on the issue already before this happened.
Yeah, I think Harvard who that did the study about 1% of adverse reactions are actually reported to the VAERS. Yes, yes. Yeah, to the VAERS.
The real problem with it's called I don't know if you call it pharmacovigilance. How do you call it in English?
What's that?
When you follow up on adverse reactions, in Italian is pharmaceutical vigilance, we call it. So if that makes any sense to you, we have active and passive vigilance. The virus is passive, meaning only if you remember to make the report will it appear on the database. By 90% of the people, I would say, when they have a problem, when they have a dead child, I mean, they don't really care about reporting this. They care about mourning the child to find out the reasons why he died. But the last thing one remembers is to make a report to the database. I mean, it's obviously, when you switch, and we had an experiment here in Italy, when you switch from passive, let's call it pharmaceutical vigilance, even though it's probably not the right term, when you switch from passive to active, and in active vigilance, you actually don't just wait for the information to come in. You follow up on people who get vaccination. You call them on the second day, on the fourth day, on the first week, on the third week, and 3 months later, just to see how they are doing. When you switch from passive to active, the percentage of serious adverse events goes from 0.something% to 4%. That's a huge increase. So that's why they don't do the active vigilance so much. It also requires more manpower, of course. It requires follow-up. I mean, it's easier to sit there and wait for information to come in than to have to call people up all the time and see how you're doing, of course. But besides that, they really don't like that, because that shows percentages in the adverse reactions that are far, far more damning for them. 4%. 4% is a lot. That includes either serious, irreversible, or death. So those three categories, they're called serious. 4% of that is really, really a lot, especially when you deal with children, which are perfectly healthy human beings, and suddenly you find yourself either a dead or ruined for life kid. It's really unconscionable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that's really rubs me the wrong way the most is just the harm that you're doing to children knowingly. And now, you know, the Pfizer's trying to get FDA approved for younger and younger people and younger kids. I'm like, it's going to get to a point where like they want to vaccinate newborns. You know, they're going to want to vaccinate the second you're out. They're just going to want to stick a needle in you immediately. And it's just, you know, to me, I mean, I think it's almost child abuse. I mean, the idea that you have, I mean, the child has a better chance of getting struck by lightning or get hit by a car on the way to getting vaccinated than actually getting like seriously injured by a coronavirus. It's just, it's insane, you know. And a coronavirus, I mean, this term has become so scary, but the common cold is a coronavirus in many cases. And cleaning supplies would say on the back of them, kills coronaviruses, because it was just a virus that was typical in the world we live in. And so it boggles my mind that parents would even consider vaccinating their child for disease that the majority of people are going to be okay. There was a study that came out of Italy that I remember, and I maybe you'll you'll remember the exact statistics. I don't remember the exact numbers, but a huge percentage of the people that supposedly died of COVID in 2020, they had a study in Italy that showed that like a huge percentage of them were going to die in 2020 anyways, that they're already in such bad health that, you know, basically there are people that already been in nursing homes or people that already had, you know, really poor health and been in hospitals. So it's like, what are we doing here?
Not only that, Rick, I've just seen today a form for a death certificate for Italians in Italian hospitals. It basically says that if at the moment of death, the COVID situation of the patient is unknown, meaning you don't know whether he had the virus or not, you should mark it as dead by COVID. So you die of a car accident tomorrow. They take you in, they don't take the test on you, on your cadaver, on your body. In Italy, you would end up as dead with COVID, even though your body has never even gotten close to that virus. So that tells you again how much they're trying to inflate the statistics in favor of scaring people.
Well, I had Dr. Scott Jensen on my show, and I also had him on the Union of the Unwanted, and he's an important person because he was one of the first doctors. He's been writing death certificates for like 30, 40 years, and he was one of the first doctors that publicly, he's also a senator in Minnesota, but he's a family physician, and he's like, you know, this isn't right. The CDC gave us new guidelines for writing death certificates, and he said, he's like, these death certificates are important because it affects state funding, it affects state statistics, it affects a lot of stuff. So they usually want us to be very accurate with what was the cause of death, not the secondary thing, but what, you know, that cause of death was important. He's like, all of a sudden I get these new CDC guidelines that give me very blurry lines on what I can and cannot say. And basically, you know, if you test positive, but it wasn't the cause of death, they're letting us put it as a cause of death and all these other things. So he was one of the first outspoken people, and a lot of people wouldn't interview him. You know, only some of the right wing shows would interview him. He also went back and audited some of the deaths in Minnesota, and they found, like you said, car accidents that were considered deaths, all these other things. So it's quite obvious. This is the thing that drives me nuts, is like, there's so much evidence that these numbers are being inflated, but yet people are still saying this many deaths, this, you know, these many cases. I mean, in the FEMA, I don't know, have you heard about this, that FEMA's giving out $9,000, okay, to anybody who had a COVID, a relative who died of COVID. And then during a press conference when they were talking about this, somebody said, well, what if I had somebody who died of COVID early 2020 before we knew what COVID was? They're like, oh, you can go back and you can revise that death certificate. So you're literally giving, I mean, it's just incentive on top of incentive on top of incentive of inflating the numbers and trying to scare people.
$9,000 just to say that my uncle died of COVID, even if he didn't?
They're supposed to be for funeral expenses. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how ridiculous this is. I mean, and nobody's talking about this. Like, nobody sees that the fact that you're letting people go back and revise death certificates, of course, yeah, there's going to be fraud. And of course, some people are going to lie about this. I mean, Dr. Birx, I mean, there's a clip of Dr. Birx during a press conference during the lockdown saying if people die with or by the virus, we're counting it as the same thing. And I remember like telling people, I'm like, they're telling you on TV. They're telling you during a press conference. Like, how can you believe these numbers if they're telling you that if you die with the virus, they're counting it as a COVID death? Dying with the virus, you could test, and then the PCR test obviously is nonsense. When one of my favorite soccer players, of course, and being Portuguese, Cristiano Ronaldo, was testing positive over and over again, and he couldn't play for Juventus. And I remember him saying to one of the noticias, one of the newspapers, that, like, this is bullshit. Like, I feel fine. I've never felt better, and I keep getting tested, and they keep telling me that I'm sick, but I feel fine. Like, and I remember him publicly saying the PCR test is bullshit. And a lot of people don't even realize that all they have to do to get those cases down, which is exactly what they did in the U.S. and maybe it's the same in other countries, but they were running too many cycles, and the PCR test,
same problem here, exactly the same.
And then you lower the cycles, and all of a sudden, wow, the vaccine gets all the credit for the lower cases when it was really just the PCR test.
Yeah, we have the same problem. So obviously there is a puppeteer somewhere that decides the same things for every country, because we would not have been having the same exact problems were not for a common puppeteer. I mean, I would say World Health Organization and those kind of, you know, organizations, because they're the ones that can impose on every country the same rules and the same behaviors for everybody.
Are you guys also getting all the exact same vaccines? Like, I know here the Moderna and the Pfizer are the most popular ones. Is that the case in Italy?
Well, here we had a big problem because AstraZeneca was going to be the big one. In other words, we had fewer Pfizer and Moderna. AstraZeneca was our big bet. Europe spent most of its money on AstraZeneca, on pre-purchase. And when AstraZeneca showed so many deaths and they had to suspend it, they were stuck with all those AstraZeneca vaccines that nobody wanted anymore. So it was really comical in a way. I mean, tragic in a way, but comical in another. That suddenly we have all these vaccines and people are going to get vaccinated. He says, well, what do you have? Because if you have Pfizer, I'll do it. Moderna, maybe. Johnson & Johnson, forget it. And AstraZeneca, forget it. So it's like going to a supermarket. You choose a different kind of olives, a different kind of pasta, according to what you like best, you know. So that was a big setback for them, because AstraZeneca was the big, they bet almost everything on it.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when the vaccines first got approved and for use and giving out to the public, a lot of media was saying, oh, conspiracy theories are already going around about people dying from the vaccine or it being harmful. And now they almost can't deny it. I mean, the Johnson & Johnson, the AZ vaccine, like it there's proof that, but even those stories are being suppressed from the public. People can't find the stories of anybody who has adverse reactions. I know people who have gotten the vaccine and gotten COVID afterwards and gotten sick. That's the thing. Like, they keep telling you this thing that if you get the vaccine, you get your freedoms back. But what they don't tell you, it doesn't stop the spread of it. It doesn't stop you from getting it. So how the hell does it make any sense that you can go around with no mask, or you can go around and get your life back just because of, you know, because of this? I mean, in Portugal, they had all these, when my club won in Portugal, in Lisbon, Sporting, when they won this past week, Lisbon was full of people.
Same here with Inter.
Oh, Inter, yeah.
30,000 people suddenly hugging and kissing. And 2 weeks later, there's no increase in the contagious people, in people who've got the virus. No increase whatsoever.
Well, that's the thing that doesn't make any sense. Fauci also said that in Texas, that once they got rid of the mask mandate, like, all hell was going to break loose. It was going to be so bad. And the numbers went down. The numbers are going down in Florida. If they really, really cared about protecting people, then you would be putting all your best minds and scientists researching, like, what's going on in these states, because apparently, you know, everything's fine. And so let's figure it out. They don't care. They don't even want to give you antibody tests. I keep telling people, I'm like, if they really cared about getting these vaccines only to the people who were the most at risk, why aren't they giving anybody antibody tests? Why don't we say, here, let's see if you have antibodies. If you do have antibodies, how about we save the vaccine for somebody who really needs it? They're not doing that. You know why? Because they just want to vaccinate everybody everywhere, regardless. Yeah. Sorry, I probably should have had a question.
Was not a question. It was a statement. It was the same here.
But I know it's late there, and you can only drink so much Italian espresso before it catches up to you. But for listeners who are listening to the show and want to get, you know, watch some of your documentaries, get connected with you, see what you're up to, what's the best ways to do that?
There's really not much, because my website is in Italian. And so I do almost everything in Italian. Before, when I was living in the States, I was kind of doing, you know, double. I was making my films in English too and everything. The films are still available also in English. I mean, if they want to go and check them out on my website, it's called Luogo Comune, which I'll spell for you because it's very long. luogocomune.net. And there's a DVD shop with all my DVDs available there in English also. It's films in English. And we ship from here. I mean, it takes a while to get to the States, but we can do that if somebody's interested. But other than that, all my articles are in Italian. You don't want to use the translator. And it's really all about Italy. So no, there's really no,
are you,
no place to...
Are you on any of the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, any of those?
No, I use Facebook to announce what shows I have, you know, my own little TV channel, a video channel. So to announce what I do and to publish my articles, but I don't participate, so to speak, in the social life of social media. I mean, I don't sit there all day long answering people and fighting and arguing with people. I don't have time for that. I only used to promote what I do. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's smart because it can be a big waste of time. Just
you can follow me. If you want to hear from me next time with Rick again, whenever we do it, that's the best.
That's a great way of getting people to listen to my show.
until then.
Well, this show is listened to everywhere. So I'm sure there's, I know it's downloaded in Italy. It's downloaded all over the world. So maybe there are going to be some people who want to go to your website and see the Italian version of it. I'll put the links to your website and all that stuff on or in the show description. So your movies are, some of them are on YouTube in English. Are they on your channel?
They're available as a DVD on my channel, my website. Yes, they are on my channel. My channel is called Luogo Comune 2. So the same long word, Luogo Comune, number 2/videos. And you can see all the videos until my YouTube channel exists, because they can wipe it tomorrow. But if it stays, that's where you find also all my videos in English as well. For example, American Moon or September 11. If you just run down, you order by date, you go down and you find them all. And if you want the DVDs, you go to luogocomune.net, and on the DVD shop, you can order the DVDs as well. Again, it takes a while for shipping to America. For some reason, Italy doesn't have, I mean, if I know the reason, we have a very bad postal system, but if you're patient, you'll get them at some point, sooner or later. Thank you for that.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I'll put all that stuff in the show description. Thank you so much for your time. As always, keep up the great work, and hopefully we chat again in the near future.
Thank you, Rick. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.